I play the maracas, I go chick chicky boom, chick chicky boom.
Welcome to No Laughing Matter with Cuba Pete, a show that takes a critical look at the disparities between medical school education and society's growing healthcare iniquities. Join Dr. Pedro Cuba Pete Greer each episode as he interviews the experts working to transform medical education and ensuring that future doctors are trained to provide equitable and compassionate healthcare for all communities. Dr. Greer received the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2009, honoring his dedication to providing healthcare to underserved populations. As Dean of Roseman University College of Medicine in Las Vegas, Dr. Greer is committed to creating a medical school of the future where students embrace the need to unite the heart and science of healthcare. And now, the host of No Laughing Matter with Cuba Pete, Dr. Pedro Cuba Pete Greer.
Well, good day, everybody. Hi, I'm Joe Greer, and welcome to Cuba Pete, No Laughing Matter. We bring here highly distinguished, brilliant people with great missions to be able to discuss what's going on in our community and how that can interact with health and health education and what we can do differently to produce the doctor of tomorrow, not the doctor of today, not trained the way that I was, to bring back the virtues in medicine. And I am beyond honored to have here Congresswoman Susie Lee, who, by the way, was voted number one as the most bipartisan member of Congress amongst all U.S. representatives, senators, and governors. So, living in her district, I am honored that she represents me and the entire district. And by the way, you were the very first one to send me a little handwritten note when I first got here almost 5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And I still have it, and I just want to really thank you for that.
Well, we're so excited to have you here, and your approach to medical education and what you're doing in our community, it's innovative. It's groundbreaking and so desperately needed.
Well, we want to change that saying that what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas to what happens
right.
in Vegas the world needs to know.
That's right.
And,
that's right.
And actually, I got to say that all of this is because I have the most incredible team and community-oriented team. We brought with us originally 4 people. Now we're 16 people have followed us out here.
That's great.
From a prior medical school that we had started. And it's funny because Lou keeps telling me, a lot of them had never been to Vegas.
Oh, wow.
So I tell them, listen, you guys.
It's a dry heat.
It's a dry heat. I can get you beachfront, just not oceanfront. Okay? But you'll have beachfront.
You'll have sand.
And being here is important because this is one of the communities of greatest need for medical professionals in this country. The state ranks 48th and in some studies 49th in primary care.
Absolutely.
And with the exception of one specialty, we're understaffed in the entire state. Congresswoman, from Canton, Ohio.
That's
as right. As a former SEC football player, but let's be honest, I just took the scholarship, but I didn't have the skills. But having come from an all-boys school, it was great being in an SEC school playing football.
Right,
you could actually get a date. So that was fun. And a family of 10.
That's right. 7 girls and 1 boy.
Really?
Yeah. 1 shower, too.
You either got up real early.
That's right. I had a sister who would set her alarm for 3 a.m. to a shower. Go back to bed.
I love it. And you're a product of public education, but you attended Carnegie Mellon.
Yep.
And I know Carnegie Mellon very well, because I'm a trustee at the RAND Corporation, and we have an office in Pittsburgh.
All right.
And Carnegie Mellon is also extremely well known for a school of teaching policy.
Absolutely. That's where I got my grad degree. The Heinz School.
Which is, oh, really?
Yes.
That's very
Heinz
cool.
School. Yeah.
And Pittsburgh's a beautiful city.
It's a great city.
It really is. And affordable.
Yes. Absolutely.
You came out here in 1993 as an educator.
Well, actually, I came out here. My husband at the time was recruited by Steve Wynn to work for the Mirage. And that's what brought me to Las Vegas. And my very first job when I got here, Jan Jones, who was the first female mayor of Las Vegas, was running for governor. So I called Jan up and said, hey, I have a background in government finance. Would love to work with you. She wanted to talk about the state budget, and I said, I'll help you out. She didn't win that race, and she was still mayor, and then she asked me to be the founding director of her homeless center. It was the first comprehensive drop-in homeless center in the city, actually across the country. It was really, at the time, an innovative approach to bring, sort of like your Genesis program, understanding that there's so many components that go into helping people who are facing homelessness. Right. So we brought Veterans Affairs and Medicaid, Social Security. We brought all the resources into one building under one roof. And as you know, transportation is such a big barrier, especially to families living in poverty in this community. And you'd have the Social Security office down on Tropicana. Then you'd have your Medicaid office up on Charleston, you know, and people had to go get an ID so they could get a bus token so they could take a bus to get their services. I mean, if you had to map out what someone had to do, and many of them, as you know, were dealing with drug addiction problems or alcohol addiction and mental health, and it was just, you know, too daunting a task to just even get the services you need. And so,
and we learned as we went along, because I started my career with working with the homeless also. Mm-hmm. And one of the early things in the early 80s and then through the mid 80s was they'd have a mental illness and they'd have a drug addiction, but we would treat one or the other. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the drugs they would use to treat their own mental illness.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so it was a complex problem, plus the fact that they had nowhere to live.
Right. And so many, there has been a change in homeless, yes, approach to homelessness, whereas before you had to deal with your addictions before you got the house, right, the roof over your head. And there's definitely been a change, understanding the most important thing for people, as you know, is security. And you can't deal with your issues and your problems you're trying to overcome if you're worried about where you're going to put your head down at night. And so now there's been a shift where we go in and provide the housing and then provide the support services alongside that, which is an important shift.
And I see that you're leading also with a program for suicide.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is?
Yeah, around the VA. So as you know, so many veteran suicide is a devastating problem in this country. And so we wrote a bill, Suicide Prevention Act. And it's really a basic concept that the VA, we know that of 22 veterans who take their lives by suicide every day, and I think that number's actually dropped to about 20, only about 14 of them have, or less, 14 of them have not been in the VA system. And but for those 6 or 7 or 8 that have, it's based off of a model in Detroit, it's a partnership with Kaiser, where they go in and in a cohort of VA facilities, they go by the mission statement that zero suicides is our goal. And it's about intake, it's about how you coordinate services, how you train your employees. And so we were able to get that pilot project started. We're ready to get it kicked off the ground, very excited about it.
I know that we worked on a project years ago also with the military that how do we know which veterans, when they're discharged, would be at risk?
Mm-hmm.
And they came up originally with a certain questionnaire.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem was, if you've been away in the Middle East and you come back and you take that test and they say, okay, we got to treat you for 3 months, that's 3 more months you don't see your family.
Yeah.
So what happened was a lot of these guys right before they became vets knew how to answer the question. It was like when I got married and the priest was asking us all these questions, it wasn't like I didn't know the answers.
Right,
and,
right.
And my wife afterwards goes, you know, you had a couple questions here. Truthfully, I said, I'm Catholic. I can ask for forgiveness, for God's sake.
That's right.
I go, it's
that's
like, right. Like we didn't know the answer. We went to Catholic
that's
school.
Right.
We knew the answer.
That's right.
So being here in Las Vegas, I have been, And having dealt in Washington and worked in administrations, I have been so impressed with you as a representative.
Thank you.
I feel that you are truly what a representative should be.
A person
that knows the community and then does things to improve the community. Why would you do this at a national level with the vets? We have an enormous amount of veterans
in
Las Vegas.
Community. Yep, absolutely.
And that needs to be addressed.
Absolutely.
And you see things. You started off, when you got here, in essence, helping with a mayoral race, but ending up running a homeless shelter.
Right, yeah.
Where is there a place that's more, people that have more needs than with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you saw that. And what made you run for office?
Well, listen, after I ran the homeless center, I was then asked to start a program called the After School All-Stars. At the time, it was called the Inner City Games. It was free athletics for at-risk students across the community. It eventually morphed into an after-school program, which we know in the Clark County School District over 20 years ago, they cut out after-school program for middle school students. In that key time from 3 to 5, obviously, we have many working families here in our community. You know, students were sort of sometimes left on their own. And so it provides not only after-school programming, whether you're, you know, we have chess and computers and, you know, not to mention soccer and basketball and all dance and all those things, but also an hour of homework time and tutoring time to help students with their schoolwork. So I did that program. And then I had two kids and stayed at home for a couple years. And then I got back involved in the community with an organization called Nevada Women's Philanthropy, which is a large impact giving group in the community that's been around for over 20 years, giving large impact grants to nonprofits here. And then I was the president of Communities and Schools, which is a dropout prevention program. So along the way, you know, from homelessness to after school to dropout prevention, really, you know, you got a front row seat to the impacts of poverty in our community. And I loved my work as a nonprofit executive, loved all of the stuff we were able to accomplish. And you know, Communities and Schools is now the largest dropout prevention program in the state, getting over 95% graduation rate. And these are your most at-risk students. But as you know, through your Genesis program, the impacts of poverty on families, and whether you're talking about housing affordability, childcare affordability, earning a livable wage, healthcare, you know, affordability, all of those things really come from Washington. So yes. If I felt that I was wanted to have a bigger impact on the root causes of some of the major problems in my community, I felt like the best way I could make an impact was going to Washington. And I've been honored to have been elected 3 times. I'm in my 4th election. And it really is the honor of a lifetime to be able to represent this community.
Well, you have one guaranteed vote right here.
All right. Thank you.
And we need people with character, with virtues in Washington. We need those that are concerned and have the experience of what they have seen. This is not, you know, I have this idea.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen these problems. I have addressed these problems. And I'm seeking a bigger solution to help people's lives, so that we could actually do things to really give people the opportunity. And Vegas is a community with a lot of hourly workers.
Mm-hmm.
It's also other things that we've noticed. One of them is that we haven't really addressed is the issue of dementia in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
We spend more money on dementia than we do on cancer and cardiovascular health. It's a few years ago, there was a paper that said it averaged about $91,000 a year to take care of a dementia patient, and then having the care at home and the stress on the caregiver. But one of the things that we've seen, for example, with these households is a kid didn't show up to class, so the teacher calls us.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it? Well, they were an immigrant family. They had mother and father, one work day, one work night.
Yeah.
And guess what? they both got days.
Mm-hmm.
But the kid's aunt had dementia.
Yep.
And nobody was there to take care of her.
Yeah.
So he had to be taken out of school. His parents could, before they had two shifts.
Right, right.
But they could never afford to be able to pay $91,000 a year.
Right.
So
absolutely.
Guess what? You're getting out of school. But what happens? The kid has no future.
Absolutely.
And yeah. So it's important that we give people these opportunities. And we're particularly targeting first-generation kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're working with Nevada State University. Mm-hmm. We have a master's program here. I want first-gen kids after their third year to come here and get a master's degree. This way they get two marketable degrees, one in biomedical sciences and the other one the undergraduate degree from NSU. And then they can apply to dental school here. They can apply to medical school, nursing school, pharmacy school. And they'll be the first ones to be professionals in their family.
Absolutely. And, so and we're keeping them in our community.
And first-gen stay.
Right, yes.
Because you know that there's less than 400 students a year from the entire state of Nevada actually apply to medical school.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, if you want to increase your physician population, you need people applying to med school that are from here.
Absolutely.
Congresswoman, I don't know how to thank you enough for what you do, not just for Las Vegas, but for our country. We are a better nation because we have representatives like you.
Well, thank you so much.
And anything that we can do here at Roseman, please let us know, because we know that what you're doing for the good of the community. And we want to hang out with anybody that's doing it for the good of the community, I would think.
And you too. Listen, I'm a big fan, as
oh,
you know.
You.
And
she talked to my mother.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, I mean, your approach to medical education really focusing on the social determinants of health and training our next future doctors that it's not just about what happens in the hospital, it's about what happens in the home. And that there's so much more that goes into what happens to people when they show up in a hospital and they're sick. And if we can get to some of the root causes and help families on the ground navigate. It's really about navigating, and life is complicated. Problems are complicated, and if we can, you know, bring our next generation of physicians really to understand what social determinants of health looks like, and how we can bring teams into, you know, the fact that you're sending your doctoral students into the communities and into the homes is really, to me, groundbreaking and so such important work. So thank you for bringing that approach to Nevada. And I just want to say the thing I love most about this community, and I hope you've experienced it, and I think you have, is that you don't need to be from here. You don't need to, you know, have three generations of pedigree. You show up and you do the work and you get into this community and you get noticed. And our community is willing to welcome in anyone who has a great idea and a great approach, and we're so honored to have you leading Roseman University, and your Genesis program to me is just incredible, and so we're lucky to have you.
I am lucky to be here, and this is such an incredible community that a newcomer can come here and meet a distinguished congresswoman that does so much. And actually, the first time she came here was purely out of interest.
Yeah.
You know, there you could say, well, I'm looking for this. And she was, this is my community. What are you doing for my community?
Absolutely. Well, I heard you had a great reputation in Florida. My good friend Debbie Murkasol Powell said, you got to meet this guy. He's bringing a great approach to a medical education.
Great.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm going to show up. I want to see what you're doing. And we want to support you however we can and support the next doctors.
And I was particularly honored because she showed up as beautiful as she is, dressed also in orange and blue, and I'm a Florida Gator. And those
right.
are our colors. As we used to say, there's a reason God made the sky blue and the sun orange.
That's right.
Congresswoman, first of all, thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for being on the show. You don't know how honored and humbled we are.
Absolutely.
To have a person
Thanks.
Of your character, of your stature, and number one, bipartisan. That's a really great thing to say currently in this country.
Absolutely. We need a little bit more of that
100%.
In this country, for sure. We need to break down some of these barriers that have divided our country and made things so toxic, because as you know, the problems that we face, they're not determined by whether or not you're a Democrat or Republican.
Not at all.
And we got to break down some of those barriers and really get to, you know, I always say you can't solve a problem with someone unless you have a relationship with them. And you can't have a relationship with someone unless you talk to them. And we need to get out from behind the screens, figure out where our common ground is and work from there. Too many times the disagreements in Washington start with where the red lines are. And if you start where your red lines are, you're never going to cross the red lines to talk about how you can work together. So we got to change our approach a little bit and figure out what can we agree on, and let's start from there.
And remember, democracy is about compromise from both sides.
Absolutely.
Dictatorships are not. And that's what my family fled when they fled Cuba.
That's right.
And so let us not forget that. We are blessed and honored to have you.
All right. Thank you.
Vote in the primaries. Vote in November. Vote. Voting for her. And I hope you are too.
Thank you.
So with that, this is Cuba Pete saying, let's make Las Vegas the number one city in the world.
All right. I'm in for it. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Good seeing you.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please subscribe, like, and comment on your favorite podcast platform. If you'd like to support the groundbreaking work that Dr. Greer is doing at the Roseman University College of Medicine, please donate at the link below. Thanks for tuning in to No Laughing Matter with Cuba Pete, as together we work to unite the heart and science of healthcare to serve all in our communities. See you next time.